Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. Yep, it's the big show this week. Had to stop and think for a second. Yep. Wow. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And even though I wasn't quite sure what day it was for a moment, I am happy to be here. And I'm excited to get to hang out with awesome people. And today, those awesome people are, well, two people I haven't seen for a couple weeks. So that makes it a special treat. Ian, how are you?
Me, I'm really great. After the last 3 weeks, I've been away, I've been working, and I've had late meetings and things that have all overlapped the show. So unfortunately, I've not been able to be here, but this week I'm back. So yeah, excited, looking forward to seeing you guys, actually, because I do miss you, weirdly. It's funny that, isn't it? It's nice to see you. It's nice to see you all have a talk and have a chat and things. It's great. Which
well,
is you, what you and Nuftall made this show for. Sit around with a beer, or in my case, tea, and have a chat. Yeah.
Yeah, and in my case, a Nalgene bottle with what appears to be water in it.
We know better.
We do know better.
And
has the sun
gone
over the yard arm? Well, I suppose it has somewhere, hasn't it? The sun is over the yard arm somewhere in the world.
Yep. And Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jeff. I missed last week. I had two events. One was my niece's graduation from college.
Awesome.
I had to drive up to a place called Chico up in Northern California, out in the middle of nowhere.
I've actually been in Chico once.
Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It was part of a road trip.
Yeah, if you're heading between here and the Pacific Northwest, you kind of go nearby Chico. Anyway, it was fun. It was quite fun. The other reason was less fun was I had what old men do is get a colonoscopy the day before. So it was quite a couple of days. And funny enough, we had a plumbing problem that had to, get some toilet drains unclogged, and it was eerily similar to the process of my colonoscopy.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke, but you beat me to it.
Yeah.
I remarked to the guy who was doing the plumbing, this looks extremely familiar.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for something like that to happen to me. Actually, last week I wasn't here because my dentist decided that you know what they're like when they look in your mouth. It's like a car. And they lift the bonnet up and they have a look in. And there's going to be work to be done. Always, every time. I swear you can find things when there's nothing there. You think, my teeth are fine this time. I won't need fillings. Sure enough, free fillings. So all of the top of my mouth was all numbed up and everything.
I still think you should have shown up for the show because that would have been awesome. I'll actually be missing the big show and the Max show. I guess it's coming up soon now, the middle of July, because I'm speaking at Max Stock again.
Oh, cool.
Hey, excellent.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Yeah.
That's in Wisconsin?
That's in Illinois. It's near Woodstock.
Oh, okay.
Woodstock's here. On this side of the pond is Woodstock.
It's crazy, crazy how many locations in the United States have just coincidentally a name that matches a location somewhere in the UK.
Yeah. Wonder why that was. Can't possibly think.
I can't come up with any reason.
Any kind of logical reason for that.
Yeah. Just doesn't make sense. But we are.
We just slap a new in front of it and we're good.
that's pretty much true.
Yeah. Up in the north of your country. Is it? Yeah. You've got the new version of my city. So yeah. Mine's the original, I'm much older.
A thousand years.
That normally blows most Americans' tiny minds when they come over and they realize that there's places older than 200 years. I remember that being shown around Boston, and there's that street where there's that old house that's 200 years old. And we saw that, and they were saying, "Oh, this is really, really old." And we thought, "Oh, must be sort of properly old." And no, 200 years old. I live in a city that's 1,000 years old. And, oh, you're very, like I say, it's very cute and sweet.
Yeah, the place I was living in Boulder was built in 1903. So it was over 100 years old. And people were just blown away that I was living in a place that old.
My
I know in
house
the
is
UK, that's not even broken in yet.
no, that's still just yeah, that's still sort of like that's a new that's relatively new in the scale. It's funny, things and stuff is different, whereas distance in the States, as Patrice and I have often joked about how, that for a Brit to travel 4 hours from eating to drive back is kind of like, oh, we wouldn't do it where you'd drive 4 hours for coffee and drive back again and not think anything of it. Those get it's the opposite of those kind of scales. It's fascinating.
Well, the United States is very big.
I mean, I live in a city here where the local when I moved up here 30 years ago, which was a long and you talk to the locals now because I'm not from around here. I'd visit the other cities that are not that far away. Hull and Leeds, I mean, they're not exciting, but they'll be cheaper than ours because there's a bit of a cachet to York. So, it's that thing. And I told someone, I'm just popping across to Leeds tomorrow to get so it goes all that way to Leeds, 25 miles away, less than half an hour journey, all that way.
All that way.
And the thing is, I thought, oh, that must have died by now. That must have dropped off. And I was chatting to someone the other week and I got the same response. Not that it was, but she and her husband have moved up here and they've come up from London. And he works for the local council and she works in the healthcare industry. And they're experiencing the same kind of weirdness that I was when I moved up here first. That for a big, very international city, we're incredibly parochial. We just can't see beyond the edges of the city. It's like a long way away. If someone moves to the other side of the city, you could have gone to Mars almost. It's bizarre. And it was sort of blur. And I said, have you had that? Oh, yes, completely had that one. And we're both sitting there laughing at. We also laugh at the, which is a really nice thing to have to be able to laugh at, is there are two areas of the city, which I won't name just in case anyone's there that's listening, that are considered the more downtrodden and more troublesome and everywhere else. And frankly, they're like holiday camps compared to a lot of places across the UK that if you went to, honestly, it's a lot worse. But because it's local and it's the only thing you know about the place that's bad, ooh, it's dodgy there. No, it's not. It's
And then we
really
have Los
not.
Angeles.
Oh, yeah, no, I've been there, right? LA was a funny place. I couldn't get comfortable. All the
This
time I was
checks
there,
out.
I think possibly I'd watched too much American TV as a child and continuingly as an adult. And I walk around and there's all sort of things. I'm waiting for a gunfight to start on every street corner I'm walking around.
Now, you see, this
And
is exactly
or
why
TJ Hooker to
Americans.
roll up and then jump out of a car, do a barrel roll and start and stand up fighting. And I couldn't quite get that out of my head the whole time I was there until I drove. And no word of a lie, literally until I drove to Malibu and then Santa Barbara as I was going up the PCH, did I calm down and everything was fine then. And what a lovely place, but LA, oh my God.
See, this is why Americans that grew up watching BBC shows on PBS are afraid to go in the woods in the UK and will not go to villages because you're going to die.
That's where all the murders happen, yeah.
That's where all the murders happen.
If you've ever watched Midsommar Murder, it's carnage. That village is a bloodbath. You can't go there, you will be killed. Particularly if your visitors are going there, you're going to be killed.
It's
In the
all.
same, it's as dangerous as being on the Enterprise and being sent down to the planet. You know you're dead.
Yeah. It's like the whole countryside in the UK is
Expendable
designed
ends.
to deal with red shirts, and you're just
Pretty
going to be
much.
dead.
Yeah, expendable ends and syndrome completely.
Right, but the great thing is, some sweet little old lady or a vicar,
With the
they're
funny
going to
hat.
solve the murder.
Yeah, a vicar with the funny hat
Absolutely.
is going to solve the murder.
Yeah,
Yep.
completely. They're really
Well,
clever.
watching British TV is also why most Americans do not own parrots. You know, they don't live very long, so and you can't get a refund.
Right, you can't. Yep.
No.
Yep.
There ceased to be, it is no more.
They cease to be.
Yep. Sheds its mortal coil.
It
Hey,
is.
it's the big show. We should probably do some tech news.
Let's do some tech news.
And
There you
Ian has
go.
the first story.
Just chuck one in there. And this one's interesting, kind of, and it
I
kind
was
of
wondering
speaks.
if someone would bring this.
Yeah, because it is. It's one of those ones we go, oh, really? And so what are we talking about? Well, we're both going, oh, really? It's another AI story. It's an interesting one. Scarlett Johansson was asked by ChatGPT, would you be one of our voices for one of our new products? She said, no, thank you, I'd rather not. Partly because I think they were fantasizing over the Her movie, in which she was the voice of the AI that the man fell in love with. And as a result, that all went away and she thought no more of it until the products launched. And funnily enough, the female voice, when you select it, sounds remarkably like Scarlett Johansson.
So
And the
much so
same.
that her friends were contacting her
Who did
saying,
it?
"Hey, I didn't
Yes.
know you did this."
Right.
Yeah. And she goes,
It
"No, I
sounded a
didn't."
lot like her.
And so she's pointing this out to them, which they're going, "And it's all right. No, it's okay." And I think there's going to be a, is there going to be a court case? Are they going to, yeah. Took legal
Well,
action, yes. Is there going to be a court case? Because I read through this and I wasn't sure whether there was a court case. It was really
she
just a case of
has
she's.
retained legal counsel, but at least as of this morning when I saw news stuff popping up, I didn't see any headlines about a case that actually been filed yet. But it sounds like she is probably going to file a lawsuit
And
against them.
I do not blame her one bit. It's the old move fast and break things, Zuckerberg kind of mentality, which has come back to
Well,
haunt them, I think, a little
I'm
bit.
going to disagree slightly on that. I don't think it's the move fast and break things mentality. I think this is the dude bro mentality of
Right.
just because a woman tells me no doesn't mean I have to respect that. I think that's what went down here.
Or
That's
it's
a
just
very.
general hubris, right? These guys like Sam Altman think they can do anything. Yeah,
No,
and
I'm.
today we got an update. You know, the worst thing is always the cover up, right? The response. If they had done this and said, "Oh, that you're right, that was kind of dumb. Let's fix it, move on," you
Yeah.
know, use some other voice to train it on. Fine, we'd all think it was stupid, but we'd forget about it for, you know, after 24 hours. But apparently today they changed their story,
Again.
and the story now, at least one place where I read, was they did the voice. First they did the voice, then they said, "Wow, that you know it sounds like her. That's what we were going after. Instead of using an AI voice, why don't we just contract with Scarlett Johansson and get the OG?" Then they went to Scarlett Johansson and she said no. So their claim is they already had this thing set up and going before they asked. Her claim is they asked her sort of during or before they trained the voice.
Yeah, it's
So
like the
just
story's
stop, you
changing
know?
daily.
Yeah, just stop.
Yeah.
Just say we screwed up and we're going to
Yeah,
fix it.
we
Move
messed it up. We'll
on.
get a different voice. The worst thing about this that I've seen a few comments about this particular thing is this voice, the Sky, it's called Sky is the voice.
Right.
And It's very obsequious and quite a bit flirty. And one commenter, which I think is, that sounds like a female being written by a man. We are now in 2024. Do we have to do that? Do we have to do that now? I don't think we do. I really don't think we do. I think that we've managed to have phones that talk to us without them going, oh, hello and good morning, sort of, and all this stupidity. We don't have, so we, there's no reason why if we pick a female voice, it doesn't have the same flat intonation, because this is what you'd, what you're looking for with an automaton, where you're not quite wanting them to be Dave, as it were, with, you don't want to do
Right.
that. You sort
Yeah,
of pick your
I think
habits.
the idea that a computer-generated voice should sound natural, but I don't want it to sound like a human. I want to know that it's coming from a computer.
You want it to have to be flat, to have not have the nuance of a human speaking,
I
the
mean, a little
faltering
bit
and
is
the.
okay. I just don't want to have to be asking whether it's a real voice or not.
Yeah, exactly that,
It's
exactly that.
disturbing, right? It makes me weird.
It worries you, you're, that how far this goes, that we don't know whether we are talking to a machine or a human, which there should be some tell, at least you'd hope.
Right.
You know, I think Majel Barrett nailed that type of voice
That's a very
when
good
she
point.
was doing the computer voice for Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I haven't
And
heard that one.
because,
Was it good, but not too human?
yeah, I mean, it had intonation, but there was just enough flatness there. Like, you know, like she got her face deadpan and then read the lines,
Yeah,
but still
that's
put
a
enough inflection in so that it didn't sound like a robot.
right. That's a tricky optimization. I understand it'd be very hard to nail that, but if somebody's done it, don't others can.
I mean, the other way you could do it would be upgrade it to the other voice of a computer we all know and love, which is from Red Dwarf, and get Holly's voice on there instead.
Which Holly?
The female one, obviously. If we're looking for a female voice, it would have to be the female Holly. Hattie Haydridge, who did the female voice.
Wait,
So I've just
don't I
chucked the
get
chat.
extra credit points for actually knowing what you're
You
talking about and then
You
asking
do.
which one? I love you forever. In the same way, when I got some, so I seem to remember, because I was getting some Monty Python reference to do with Finland being the best place you can ever be. That again, I love you forever for knowing that yeah, Holly was both a male and a female character at various points. Norman Lovey did it first, and then Hattie Haydridge thereafter. But particularly, sort of like, oh, she's rubbished a lot of you kind of thing, and that's perfect. I'd have that. Knew she was superior.
I want the Samuel Jackson character from Pulp Fiction to be my voice.
You know,
It's
I'd
very
be okay with that.
authoritative, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I think that if Scarlett Johansson does file a lawsuit, that she will have a pretty strong case.
Yes, she will.
And I was feeling that even before I was reading articles from attorneys that cover this sort of case, where they were saying, oh yeah, she has a solid case. And they went on to say, and don't forget, she's the woman that sued Disney and
Right.
won.
Yes.
Oh
Don't mess with
yes.
Scarlet. Don't mess with Scarlet.
Yeah, no
Right.
kidding.
Plus,
Do not mess with Scarlett.
she sounds like she has a paper trail too, which is not going to be good for OpenAI.
No, it's
So
not. She.
here's my question. 6 months from now, are we going to be talking about Sam Altman in the same way we talk about Elon Musk?
Many of us already do.
Yes, no, that's the problem. I think we already are all thinking he's now jumped his proverbial shark of whatever kind, and he's
Got
now
the
thinking
same,
that
he's
he can
got
just
very
do
similar
that same
DNA.
mentality, isn't it? It's that same
Yep, same
mentality.
mentality. I'm getting kind of sick of these guys.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we all. It's, I mean, I was feeling kind of sketchy about Sam Altman, And then there was the coup.
Right. Oh,
And then
yes, there was
he's
all
back
that.
after the weekend. And at that point, I'm like, there's no way this man can be trusted on any level.
Well, and they just lost a bunch of people again, right?
Right.
Oh, have they?
And
Yes, Ilya
the
left, and the head of ethics or whatever left, right?
Yes.
That tells you
Okay.
something.
Now the head of
That tells you something right
ethics
there.
leaving, the reason he gave for leaving is fracking scary. Because what he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that the direction that OpenAI is going isn't compatible with what his responsibilities were, and he was not comfortable being part of that anymore.
God.
That is again the worrying part.
So how would you like to be a corporate partner of OpenAI, like Microsoft or whoever else they're talking to, and you're dealing with this nutcase running a company that's basically not run very well? I gotta believe Microsoft is too big and too smart to be putting all their eggs in that basket. And these rumors about Apple and other people trying to strike deals with OpenAI, I think that area is just ripe for some other company to swoop in and,
I'm surprised Microsoft haven't yet made him an offer he can't refuse and let him quietly go live under a mountain somewhere with Elon.
Right.
I'm
Well,
really
but
surprised they have. I'm
I
really
wonder
surprised they
even
haven't.
even if you get rid of him, though, I wonder if the company culture is so screwed up that, chopping off the head isn't going to fix it.
That's a good question. Now, I do have a hypothesis about what some of these deals that are rumored may be. And I'm so here's my hypothesis. I think that some of these companies, instead of looking to license ChatGPT in general, they want to license the technology framework and
Right.
build their own model on top of
Right.
that.
Right, which might be okay.
Yeah, it has
And
the potential to be okay.
potentially only as a gap filler until they can do it themselves and design them out.
Yeah, and some of the companies that are working on these technologies, like Google, for example, I'm finding it fascinating that part of what they're using is open source AI framework tools that Apple created.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's funny on multiple levels because, it's Google, they can do anything. And then also everyone's saying Apple is so far behind in the AI space. And yet we have companies like Google that are relying on technologies Apple developed for their own AI efforts.
That's kind of ironic.
There's a little bit of irony there. Yep.
There is. There
Yep.
is.
Yeah,
Craziness.
I think OpenAI has a big bucket of hurt on their hands right now, and it's going to keep hurting them for a while. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, Tom, tell us about your story. Also, this is another story that I was wondering if someone was going to bring.
So it's another kind of scary story. It's about what Microsoft announced this week, last this week, I guess, early
I
this
think it was
week
this week.
at Build. I think that's the name of their conference, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called that.
It's a feature in Windows 11 called Recall. The article I pointed to is about the hardware requirements for it, but it also describes what Recall is. So basically, Recall on a Windows PC is it basically keeps track of everything that you're doing in a multitude of ways and stores it in a database. Apparently, screenshots, key logging, file history, app history, everything, including the characters you type when you log in someplace. And then you can say, what was that site I went to on Thursday afternoon? And ask it that, and it would tell you. Sounds great, right? I guess it sounds great. I'm not
For
100%
those of
sure of the
you
use
that
case.
are listening and not watching, Ian's eyes are really big and he's just shaking his head back and forth. No, 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 no.
Like most people, when they thought, when I first saw this, I thought, well, that's kind of cool. I'm trying to think of use cases. And I think, wait a minute. They're storing everything that you're doing. And then they try to, make everybody calm about security issues related to that by saying, yeah, but you store everything locally. Oh, great. So basically, you're putting spyware on my machine that if somebody somehow gets access to my machine, they know everything about me.
I mean,
So, why do you have BitLocker running on my machine to encrypt my drive, yet you're just going to put everything out in the open and clear with this new recall feature? So
and I mean, I
I kind of get the idea of what they're getting at. But maybe this is another case of we were talking earlier about before the show about minimum viable product. And somebody should have stepped back and said, okay, let's really think about the features we want to give users and sort of come up with some simple things first instead of trying to do everything and store people's passwords and log every key that they're typing.
I mean, the one thing I'm looking at here now is I'm just flicking through to see whether there's something that my IT department can just press a button to make it not turn up on any of the corporate laptops I work. I mean,
Well,
I'm using it,
there's no way a
but
corporation
that
is going to allow
I
this
know
feature on.
exactly. There's no way on
Not a
my
chance.
employer is becoming more and more security conscious than they ever have. We used to be able to bring your own computers. It's now, because we are a security company, essentially, it's become a thing where now that's definitely going away, and we're going to use only a company issued device, and that's completely fine. I'm working on my one now, right now here, my ThinkPad, and honestly, I can't see my employer turning that on. We very carefully got our own AI ChatGPT contract that we have control of, essentially, as much as you can, rather than let people go willy-nilly off to the internet. And
But and actually,
really, at
most
the moment now, I'm thinking,
no way.
how viable is Linux on the desktop?
I
Honestly, I
think
am concerned.
every time we see this stuff, that topic of can we move to Linux comes up, and
Yeah, you're
Linux
right.
is,
Mint
I'm
is.
certainly comfortable with Linux, but I rue the day that I have to train my wife how to use a Linux
Well,
desktop.
Mint is.
Yeah.
I mean, Mint is arguably one of the nicer ones to.
Yeah,
It
it's
looks
pretty
like Windows. It
simple.
looks like Windows 11. It does everything else.
I don't have, nerds don't have any problem with Linux.
Yeah, but you get
It's
ones things
everybody
like,
else.
yeah, and worryingly, the things you the barriers of usage for me with going completely to Linux is always things like, and it goes back to the place we've just begun, is I need functional proper access to tools that will generate me Word documents. I need to be able to communicate and collaborate in a Microsoft connected sphere because that's what my workplace does. So Teams is not a viable product on Linux very much as yet. It's getting there, but it's not really. I've Word and stuff. Word and stuff is a calamity unless you use the web apps, and that's it's fine, but there's always going to be things that are going to make it more difficult, and then you end up with browsers eating a gazillion gigabytes of RAM just to keep things going. So you'd want native apps. Although, to be fair, I'm not convinced that our native apps are entirely now going away to be replaced with some, which, well, instead of a cool thing, I'm going to have a rant today about my improvements to Outlook. But
Well,
just it's.
the thing is, it's all about you. It's always about your use case. And I have use cases where if I had a Linux box, I'd be perfectly happy and extremely productive. There are a lot of things I'd like to be able to do that are really hard to do on a Windows or a Mac. And I know you can get a Unix prompt and all that on a Mac, but there is a difference. But 85% of my use cases, Windows works fine. And part of those use cases is communicating with other people and using third-party apps and Linux,
Yes, exactly.
just anyway. But I The thing I think is such a shame here is that this idea I get, and it has a lot of potential. I'm so disappointed that, Microsoft has done a lot of good things over the last 5 or 10 years, and this just seems like they really didn't think it through.
Well, this falls in line with what I call the Jurassic Park axiom. Just because you can doesn't mean you
Doesn't mean you
should.
should. That is the best. That is one of my
It always comes
favorite
back to
things.
Samuel Jackson, by the way.
Right. Or it's either Samuel L. Jackson or Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff
They are the
Goldblum,
muses of our time.
right? Because I guess it was him that said that, right? And he said something similar in Independence Day, didn't he?
I think so. Yep.
So anyway, the other interesting thing about this article is, maybe part of this whole recall thing was to promote the Windows on ARM launch. Because you need basically an ARM machine with a neural processor. Basically, I mean, you can do it eventually on Intel or AMD if they have the right neural processor. But it seems like it was also a promotional vehicle for the Windows on ARM launch.
I can see that. And I'm with you on paper. This is a very compelling idea, being able to, in context, call back anything you've done on your computer.
We've had that for years in various forms, Time Machine on the Mac and all
Well,
that. I mean, I know that does require a snapshot to be created each time.
But that's really just about being
That's
able
a
to go back
global
in time
thing,
to find versions of old files. It's not like I can say, "Hey, S lady, I was working on a project about Jurassic Park a week ago. What were the three websites that I spent the most time on?" And then have those come back up.
So there's got to be a way to do, like I said, instead of trying to do the full Monty here, if they just pick 3 or 4 use cases where it didn't require them to take a screenshot every whatever they're doing every 10 seconds or every minute and storing all your passwords. I would like something just in when I was working, I would have loved to have something that just dealt with my Microsoft applications, Word, Outlook, PowerPoint. If it
Yeah,
only
if you could
saved
keep
that
it.
context, and if you could pick the domains where it saved the information or the contacts, that would be one way to limit this. Only turn this feature on for, in my case, it would have been PowerPoint. I did 80% of my work in PowerPoint. That would have been nice.
You're
Oh
being able
yeah.
to say something like, "Show me all the documents over the last 3 weeks that I collaborated on with Tom."
For example, that would be a really nice feature.
I mean, Word is getting Word Excel, the Office suite is getting better at knowing what other apps you've had in and where you've been. It's still not as joined up as it could be, but it's getting a lot better at that now. So
Yeah, so
I don't
you
see the
can
need for
use.
why you need more or why this madness needs to screenshot my desktop every 10 seconds.
I mean, there are search functions. That search in remember when the basic search function gave you more than file names, it would 20 years ago when it started looking inside documents for search terms, what a revelation that was. But I just am so surprised they did this and didn't consider the backlash, I guess.
Well,
They'll be
sometimes when
backpedaling.
you're
I
in the
can see
middle
it
of
coming.
something, it's really hard to see what sort of reaction you're going to get.
Yeah. But I just wonder if in the meeting there was, that proverbial, I think, we talk about a lot, the proverbial guy in the back of the room raising his hand saying, "Wait a minute, do you think people are really going to be okay with this?"
I would offer my services as the grumpy old bastard in the back that always asks the question of why. I sometimes I'm that person in some of our meetings when we're talking about new product features, and I'm going, "Yeah, but why? Oh, but it'd be really cool, it'd be really cool."
Or as Jeff said, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
But why? Or more, my point is that secure? Oh, yeah, but
Yeah.
no one will be able to if they found out that. But what's the perception? You need to think about that. Oh, it'll be all right. But sometimes you have those guys, and then people go, oh, yeah, no, that is a good idea. And but it's just, oh, it is
Yeah.
a.
I mean, we've had a couple of these in the last couple of weeks, right? We had the Apple ad thing that kind of makes you shake your head about didn't somebody raise their hand and say, you know, this might not be
Might not
perceived
be the
as a
best
positive thing.
idea. To be fair, no one raised their hand and said, wow, this is a really poorly conceived ad when LG did it several years ago. Because
Yeah,
Apple's
true.
ad is almost shot for shot, the LG
Really?
ad.
Nobody cares about LG.
Well, I mean,
No.
and there is that. Yeah.
Lucky gold star.
Yep. Yeah, it's I'm totally getting why people are not feeling completely comfortable with the whole recall thing. Unlike the way they feel about TSO hosts. And what is it that makes people feel so comfortable about TSO hosts and trust them? Well, it's because they offer great web hosting and reliable web hosting, and they have great customer support, and they offer great pricing. And what they're doing is they're taking all those things that they do so well, all the things that people love them for, and they're saying, we're going to give back to the community, and we're going to do that by supporting the British Tech Network. So what they're doing for us is giving us the resources that it would just not be possible, feasible for us to pull together ourselves. So that's things like they're giving us a bandwidth to live stream shows to you every single week. That in and of itself takes resources that are beyond what we would be able to manage on our own. Then they're giving us the web hosting space so that we can have a website for everyone to come and visit and see what's going on at BTN. And then they're also giving us the server space so that there's a place for all of the show files to live so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. And we really, really appreciate that they are doing this for us. And I'm saying it right now, and it would be great if everyone else said it too. And the easiest way for you to do that is just to hop on social media and thank TSO hosts for being here and supporting us. So please, everyone, do that. And that's all you really need to do. But since they offer such great services and good pricing, if you're in the market for domain names, if you need web hosting, why not use TSO Host? Because you know you're going to get a good deal and you're going to get great customer support. So find your domain names, throw them in your cart. If you need hosting, throw that in there too. Then add the discount code BTN20 and you'll get 20% off your order. So they're taking what's already a great deal, and because you're part of the BTN family, making it even better. So thank you again, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And speaking of support, this is usually where I say, and Patrice, do you mind helping me out and telling everyone about the live chat? And the live chat is where all of the links and for everything we discuss end up. It's where everyone that's watching or listening live can interact with us in real time, and it's pretty fun. It turns out, though, that not everyone is watching or listening live, so we have to hit both sides of this. So how does that work? If you're with us live, you can go to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. I got thumbs up and yes nods. Nailed it. Go there, and then you can get into the chat and talk with us in real time during the shows. Since you can't do that all the time because the shows only run at certain points, If you want to see those conversations and get at all those links, articles and cool things and all the stuff we discuss about, then you can go check that out too after the fact. So for that, you go to, let's see, chat at the beginning when you're live, chat at the end when it's the recording. So that would be britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Awesome. Wow. Look at me actually sort of nailing it. Mark the date on the calendar. All right. Anyhow, so when you go to that URL, Patrice has set up this awesome calendar where you just click on the day for the show. And for today, I have to look at the calendar. That would be Thursday, May 23rd, 2024. Click on that day, and then you'll see the where you can click to see the transcript for that day's episode for all the conversation, and you can still get all the links and everything from there. And it goes back to, I think Patrice said it goes back to 2015, so you can go and see a lot of absolutely ridiculous conversations.
And it was really nice to get that $10 million from OpenAI for them to allow them to use the chat for their training. I thought that was a reasonable price.
That was awesome. The great thing is that or at least the beautiful irony is if ChatGPT did actually scrape all of our transcripts, well, they're getting what they paid for.
Talk about hallucinations.
Right? Okay. So I think I did it. I think I got us through the whole how the live chat and finding the chat after the fact works.
Yeah, you did. Spot on, man. Spot on.
Ooh. Okay. Well, that means it's now time for some cool things. So who has the first cool thing?
I have an
Which
uncool thing. I have a mini rant.
are all right. Well, Tom got his cool thing in.
Has he got his
So
little thing in? And that goes, go for it, my friend.
okay. We'll save the mini rant till the end.
Yeah, because I'm a bit mither. I am. Yeah,
Right, my cool thing
go.
is a podcast. It's called Ear Hustle. Ear Hustle is a podcast from San Quentin Prison. It was started by some people there, and it's as you can imagine, all about life in federal prison and the people there and so on. It's really quite remarkable, one, that they got this started, and two, the content is really interesting. If you know, to learn about the people and what their daily life's like, how they got to where they are, what their relationship is with the other people in the prison and their families and friends outside, and they just cover a ton of topics. And I think it's been around 3 or 4 years, something like that, 5 years maybe. And so it's not a tech thing. But it's a really cool podcast. And I brought it up today because the company that aggregates their podcast, PRX, Public Radio Exchange, had a little get together at a supporter's house up the road from where I live, sort of a fundraiser. It was a fundraiser. But the two people that are the host of Ear Hustle were there. Nigel Poor, who is a woman who is a artist, photographer. She teaches also at a state college here in California. And Erlon Woods, who was an inmate at San Quentin, and he has been released, I think a year or two ago, he was released. And a guy named Antoine Williams from San Quentin, who I think is kind of the producer and the behind the scenes guy, sometimes appears on mic. And I think he got released as well. Anyway, I got to meet Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods and some people from PRX. And it was really interesting to talk to them about how they got together and a little bit about some of the episodes and you know, just to shake their hand and have a chat with them. It was quite fun. So it's a shout out to Ear Hustle. Everybody should give a listen. Oh, and
That
I did get some
sounds super
swag. I
interesting.
got some swag. I have to show my swag. I got a pin. Can you see my pin?
Hey,
I
that's cool.
can.
Oh, I'm going to proudly wear that.
Hey, the whole prison thing and technology in prisons, I learned a bit from, I attended the Tim O'Reilly Cory Doctorow thing about the intensification of AI, and he was talking about tech in prisons, and it was controlled by about two companies that the prisoners have access to. And
Yeah,
it's
it's a mess.
controlled so badly that almost they can't make enough money to afford to have a video call because they're not allowed personal visits anymore to speak to their families. And you wonder why this system's in a mess.
Yeah, it's a real scam. The whole it's been that
The
way
whole
just for even
system.
audio calls for 30 years. It's been a whole scam. The company that ran that, and
It seems
you
a
know it.
whole mess of crookedness.
A big part of the challenge these guys had in doing the podcast was equipment and what they could bring in. And then, of course, the original intent was the podcast was intended just for prisoners, first at San Quentin, and they hoped to get it to people out in other prisons outside of San Quentin. Because prisoners don't have, you know, they don't have an iPhone with a podcast app and just download podcasts. But apparently they get access, in, at least in San Quentin, to tablets of some sort, on some kind of a schedule, and they do have some means to get at podcasting. And I should tell the other interesting story that the woman who runs PRX was there as well, and she told the story about how Ear Hustle got on the PRX. And since they were just the Ear Hustle people were just trying to do something to play in San Quentin, then they saw this thing from PRX, which was a contest. Hey, you know, get a win the contest and you can get a podcast distributed. And there were 1,500 entries, and they had to do like a 2-minute clip and a write-up and all that stuff. And Ear Hustle won out of 1,500 applications. And Erlon and Nigel said, you know, we kind of did it on the whim, the application, and then we won. And we said, oh, damn, we're actually going to have to do a podcast now.
Yeah,
How
we're
are we going to
committed
do
now.
that? Yeah, we're committed. We're, you know, you're in prison. How are we going to do this?
That's super cool. I'm gonna check it out. Awesome. All right. Ian, you have a cool rant today?
Yes. It's our friends at Microsoft. I love them dearly and some of their apps and some of their software. I've moved back to Windows and it's actually quite acceptable. I'm getting most things done well and it's not getting in my way overly. Now I've turned most of the annoyances off. Probably my corporate IT turns the other bits off that I equally don't want to see. So I'm very happy there, but I keep getting adverts now that I should move over to the new Outlook. And there's a little slider in my old Outlook that I can slide. So, being a guy and being in tech, oh, yeah, I'll have the new one. That must be great. I click the button and I'm presented with what effectively is the web app. It is the web app. It's all they've done is they've made an electron app of the web version of Outlook and given it me. All of my options, all of the things that I could do before with a full-fledged Outlook, I've gone away. I can never find anything.
Oh.
It's just
That's
so annoying.
killer.
Microsoft,
That's
please
killer.
stop doing it. So, I mean, so I've turned it all off and gone back to the old one now. But I'm becoming more and more irritated. I can, from a programmer's perspective, I can see why developing Electron structure. It means that my platform can go and work on a Mac, a Windows machine, a Linux box, as long as they've got the right frameworks in place. All this should be possible. So I can see the logic of it. But for some really sort of particular tools, that just isn't a thing that can't work. And I dread now to think, well, they're going to make my PowerPoint better and my Excel better. And gonna break everything, and I'm gonna sit there banging my head against the desk trying to do. Sometimes I like the idea of a simple interface can be better, I agree. But in a corporate world, the stuff I do, I want to use all of it. I use quite a lot of Outlook's functionality that aren't in the standard menus. Please stop it. Please stop it. That's mostly my rant because I'm getting really, really annoyed with, and I've turned, as I said, I've turned everything off as best I can now. And hopefully now I'll not have a frustrating time while trying to send it. The simplest thing of sending communications and emails.
Yep. When I was very actively trying out different email clients for the Mac, when Apple Mail catastrophically broke for me, like just it would launch and then lock up. And I still haven't found a fix for it. So, and this was months ago. So I started trying out every other email app. And so, of course, I tried Outlook and I used it for part of an afternoon and then was out because it's basically nothing more than something that will show you that you have email and you have no control over anything. And
Absolutely.
I'm
It's the
like,
same on Windows as it is on, it was on Mac.
if I can't filter where messages are going and auto organize them,
Well, see, I think I had to, I was forced to switch from a Mac with Eudora to a
oh, the
Windows
best
machine with Outlook
one.
25 years ago at work. We moved from Macs to Windows. So I started looking using Outlook many, many years ago. So it Given the fact that I spent probably 10 years setting up Outlook, you can do those things. You can filter messages and direct them to different mailboxes, and you can do all kinds of things. It's harder than shit to do all that. And every time
Yeah.
they release an update, they screw it up and you have to fix it.
Well, the
But
problem I
as
was
a
having was when I tried to do things like set up other mail or like folders and have stuff filter into those, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I went and checked Microsoft's online help, and it
I knew
flat
that
out said,
sucks.
"You can't do that." And I'm like, then why?
Well, the biggest
Well,
irritations for a corporate user of email for me is shared mailboxes. I've a shared mailbox and I access. It doesn't expose it in the same way as it used to. I can send an email from that address, but you think I can see that in my tree of messages? No, I can't. Again, useless.
I just got resigned to the fact that it's difficult to use an email client as a database of any kind.
Oh,
I only use
yeah.
my email to send and receive messages, and if it's something I want to keep, I keep it somewhere else. I
Yeah,
copy and paste it into a file on my computer.
I kind of agree with you there. It is, but it's just, what I'm complaining about is functionality, is the ability to just sit there and do the thing I need it to do, which is send an email for me, schedule an email to go out tomorrow with the links in, stuff I want it to do. The formatting was the other thing it broke massively when I was copying and pasting tables out of Excel into an email to send on. All the editing features that I remember and love, because it was using Word's engine for that in the old days, that's all gone. And it's just things that you couldn't do. And so I got fed up the other week. And then again, I've got 16 gig of RAM in this laptop. It shouldn't struggle with a mail client and a web browser open until you realize that some of your performance from your web browser has been stolen by your mail client because your mail client's just running yet another instance of Edge. No, stop it. So I had to intervene. And that's I do you know, of things that I used on the Mac that I liked, the Mac mail client is actually pretty good for what it is. It did its job and it got out of your way. Eudora, you remind me of a wonderful tool that I used many, many moons ago. It was a good, really good email client.
Eudora
Was
was the
Eudora.
best.
It was a
Oh, yeah,
really
I
good
loved you, Dora. That was great.
one. Really good email client.
All right, so my cool thing, bringing us back to the positive side, this is an iPhone app, and it's called Couch Times, and
Love the name.
it's a one-trick pony. Its job
Oh,
is to let
yes.
you keep a list of the shows, movies that you're watching, and then as you get through episodes, you can just check them off. so you can keep track of where you are on each series.
That's
I mean,
pretty
that's
cool.
all this thing is for. And
That's, yes. That
it's
is a good little app, is that? I keep meaning to install that one to have a play with it.
yeah, and oh, turns out it also works on iPad. So it has an iPad interface. Yeah, and it's, I don't even remember what I paid for it. I want to say like $5, but I honestly don't know. Whatever I paid for it, more than worth it. It is my go-to for keeping track of what I'm watching and how far into a series I am. And that's it. Couch times.
It's a geniusly simple thing that's very helpful. I do love that. I do love that about some Mac apps. I'm really good at finding one trick pony thing that does stuff very, very well. Top, this, those kind of things. They just do one thing. That's the only thing I need you to do. Just one thing. Just do it very well. Yep. Thank you.
I'm really into
Genius
apps
idea.
that are like that. Yep. Yep.
Genius. Do one thing. Do one thing very well.
Well, and the name of the app alone is worth $5.
Right?
Yeah, I
And
might say that. I might have to shove that on my iPad.
That's
I mean,
pretty
for all I
good.
know, it was $10. I have no idea. I'm gonna have a
Whatever it
look. I'm gonna have a
cost,
look
it
when I
was
get
worth
back to
it.
it. When I get back to the deck, when I get back to my iPad in a bit, I'll have a look at that. Because that looks helpful. That looks very helpful.
It's a great little app, and everyone that I have told about the app has just loved it. All right, so with that, it is now time to wrap up. Wow, what an awesome day. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Ian Grant. You'll find me there. I work for Veeam. Otherwise, you'll find me in the Slack room. And of course, on a Thursday night with my good friends, Tom, Jeff, Patrice, when everybody's here, I should be on the big show, being the grumpy old man in the corner going, no, a lot. But that's where you'll find me.
We all have our role to play.
We do.
Yep. And Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome. And then for me, Jay Gamut on social media. I'm posting mostly right now on Mastodon and Instagram and Threads. Then for shows. Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Tom, no, you're Tom. Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. And here on the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. And also, Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. So, with that, thank you, both of you, for making my Thursday afternoon just so much fun. This has been a delight, and I'm glad that we got to spend this time together. And everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here and being part of the show as well. You are all awesome. And if you're watching or listening to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Hey, speaking of BTN family, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Go give them some online love, please. And speaking of some love, the Daily News Show. Love the show. And it's 5 minutes waiting for you when you get up every morning of all the important tech news. And Kyle does a fantastic job. It does, however, take more money to keep that show running. So please go to the BTN website, click the button to donate some money for the Daily News Show so we can keep that running. Also, when you do that, you get a little extra content out of it. So with that, be sure and join us tomorrow for the Mac show. Then don't forget to join us again next Thursday for the big show. And everyone, yeah, have a great day.